1 Samuel chapter 2. Tonight I'm going to talk about a subject, and the first story we're going to read. We're going to kind of do some comparisons tonight. First story I'm going to read is kind of a disturbing story, really. And it really bothered me when I read it, and then I started thinking about it, and I started thinking of the instances in the Bible where this happened that was a good thing. So we're going to kind of compare those tonight. But if you will go ahead and, after you find it, go ahead and stand for the reading of God's Word. 1 Samuel chapter 2. I'm going to skip around, so we're going to stay in 2 and 3 for right now. So just try to follow along. Starting verse number 12. Says, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord." All right, and then it gives one of the instances in which they were a son of Belial in the next few verses. Go down to verse 17, though. It says, "Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord." Go to verse number 27, please. And we're going to read down to verse 36. And it says, "And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel my people? Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, Be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Behold, thy days come, that I will cut off thine arm, and the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, in all the wealth which God shall give Israel. And there shall not be an old man in thine house forever. And the man of thine, whom shall not cut off from mine altar, shall be to consume thine eyes, and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of thine house shall die in the flower of their age. And this shall be a sign unto thee, that thou shalt come upon thy sons, or that shall come upon thy two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas, and one day they shall die both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest, that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. And I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of bread, and shall say, Put me, I pray thee, into one of the priest's offices, that I may eat a piece of bread." Go, if you would, to verse 10 of chapter 3. We're going to pick it up there. It says, "And the Lord came and stood and called us at other times, Samuel, Samuel." This is, if you recall, the dream that Samuel, where Samuel kept running back to Eli, and finally Eli said, respond to the Lord. So this is where we're picking up here. It says in the middle of verse 10, "Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth it shall tingle. And that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house, when I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning, and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel, and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, Here am I. And he said, What is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth good. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day, Lord. I thank you for the day you've given us, another day of life. Lord, I pray that we never take that for granted. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to stand behind this pulpit where many great men of God have stood and still stand today, Lord. And I don't take that lightly, Lord. And I pray that, above all, you'd be glorified tonight. Lord, I don't want to say anything I shouldn't, and I want to say exactly what I should, Lord. I just pray that you'd help us tonight, Lord. I pray for our preachers. He's out preaching to out in Iowa, Lord. I pray that you would just move in those services. Help Brother Rogers, he's preaching in the fellowship hall and having an activity. Lord, I pray for the young people, Lord. And I just pray that you'd be with them. Lord, I pray for everybody here tonight. Lord, help us be attentive listeners and help us just to apply what you'd have us to our lives, Lord. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you can go ahead and sit down. When I read this, it was quite a while back. It was kind of one of them things, I know you shouldn't, but you're just kind of reading through the Bible and you don't really, I know, you're just kind of reading through it, just get your chapter done type of deal. I do it. I'm sorry. I about to do it. So I was reading down to verse, and I got to verse 18, and the end of verse 18, it says, where Eli, after Samuel had told Eli his dream, Eli said in verse, at the end of verse 18, he said, "It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth good." And I thought, wow, that's a really good statement. So I wrote it down on a 3x5 card, and I thought, well, I'll study that later. You know, because that's a real good statement for, you know, just completely trusting in the Lord, and that no matter what, you know, the Lord's will is best. And so, you know, I went off from there, and I stuck my 3x5 cards with all my other 3x5 cards I still have to study. So I went back later, and I was looking at this, and then preacher the other day, he said something, and you know, we've lost a lot of, not a lot, but in the past few years, we've lost what I have considered in my childhood, teen, whatever, to be some of the older generation. And he said something the other day, he said something like, "Where's the prayer warriors of this generation?" And I was like, good night. You know, I was like, wow. I pray, but sometimes I don't feel like I really accomplish anything. I was reading this, and then I thought back to this story, and I thought, wow, it really bothered me, this story did. Excuse me. And what bothered me about this story, if you go back to, first, I preached this to the 5th and 6th graders, but I kind of ripped their faces about growing up in God's church, or growing up in the service of God, like these Hophni and Phinehas did, growing up in the service of God, but they still knew not the Lord. And I preached a sermon about that, because I feel that many times, not necessarily here, but across the board, many young people grow up in the service of God, but they never know the Lord. So I preached to them about that, and I was studying that again. And what bothered me about this, and we're going to look at some other illustrations, what bothered me about this was actually the statement that Eli made at the end that I thought was such a great statement to start with. In verse number 18, it says, "It is the Lord, let him do what seemeth good." And I want to take you to go to Genesis chapter 18, and I'm going to chase this through the Bible just a little bit tonight. I want you to bear with me. Tonight I want to talk about being an intercessor. Genesis chapter 18, we're going to look at verse number 17. It says, "And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their city is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which has come unto me. And if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, Wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous in the city, wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, If I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, I will surely spare all the place for their sake." Sorry if I'm reading too fast. I always ask my wife after, this is kind of funny, I always ask my wife afterwards. I was like, "What? Did I do all right?" Or, you know, because I mean, she's gonna tell me whether I like it or not. And I always ask my wife that. She's like, "Yeah, but you just need to slow down when you read. You read too fast. Sorry, I'm nervous." So, but we have here the story, and this is what really bothered me about Eli. And I didn't read the whole part of Eli's dialogue with his sons or with God. But you go back and look at Eli. When God pronounced judgment on Eli's sons, you never see Eli asking God to spare him. And I thought, this is why it's hard for me, I thought of all the times in my life where I walked down to our basement and I saw my dad on his knees. And I knew that he was interceding for me. And it bothered me that Eli didn't. You know, the statement that I thought, as the Lord, you know, as the Lord seeth good, let him do what seeth good. And I thought, wow, what if my dad's, you know, if God said, because Chad has done this, what if my dad said, oh, well, let the Lord do what seemeth good to him. And that's what really bothered me about this. And when I started looking through the Bible, there's many illustrations of intercessors that God has put in the Bible. And I didn't look for negative illustrations because I knew I was going to have a hard enough time with Eli. But, you know, Eli, God pronounced a judgment on his sons. And the Lord said, and Eli said, well, it's the Lord, let him do what seemeth good. And I thought about in my life, how many times in my life I've had intercessors. And many of you, I think, have been intercessors for me. You know, and there's other people. I know all my Sunday school teachers, Brother Charles, he was, no offense to any of you that are under third grade, but I really don't remember any of you as Sunday school teachers. Sorry. You probably remember me, though. I imagine you remember me. But Brother Charles and Miss Ruthie, well, this is my first Sunday school teacher to actually remember. And, you know, I think Brother Charles, Miss Ruthie, they prayed for me. Brother Don was my fifth and sixth grade teacher, and I know he remembers me and Levi and all the others in there. You know, I think Brother Don prayed for me. I know Brother Bo prayed for me. He carried a little black book in his pocket, and he had the names of all of his bus kids, all of his Sunday school kids. I don't know if he prayed for me every day, but he prayed for me a lot, I know that. And there's people all through this auditorium tonight that you've prayed for me, and I don't take that lightly. And we see here the illustration of Abraham. He intercedes for Lot, and I'm sorry I'm having a hard time with this tonight. I just want you to understand that your role as an intercessor may be the determining factor for somebody. You know, what if Eli would have done the same thing for Hophni and Phinehas as Abraham did for Lot? You know, Abraham, he prayed to the Lord, and there's a whole dialogue. He first asked the Lord if there were 50 righteous, if he'd spare the city. Then he asked the Lord if there's 45, 40, 30, 20. He finally got the Lord all the way down to 10. What if Eli would have not let go of the throne of God until the Lord said, "All right, I'll give him another chance"? Why did Eli say, "Oh well, as the Lord seemeth, is the Lord, let him do what seemeth good"? Why did Eli say that? As a father, you know, Emily's still a baby, but I don't want Emily to grow up and maybe she gets away from God. I don't want to give up on her. And it really bothered me. And I want to look through some others. So we see Abraham, he interceded for Lot. So that's an illustration. Go to Exodus chapter 32. I like to say all this is sweat, but it's not. You'd think after as much as I sweat the last couple days, I wouldn't have anything left, liquid left. Exodus chapter 32, verse 11. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and swearest by thine, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. It's kind of, if you look through the timeline, I guess, of Israel and God and the relationship that Israel had with God and the relationship that Israel had with God through Moses, it's very interesting to watch. You know, half the time Moses is infuriated with the Israelites and says, God, why don't you kill them all? And God said, well, Moses, you need to have more patience. But a lot of times God's fed up with Israel. And we see many times, if you go down to verse number 30 in the same chapter, 32, chapter 32, verse 30, it says, and it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, ye have sinned a great sin, and now I'll go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and this long hyphen, this hyphen kind of amazes me. I wonder what was going on during that hyphen. Just a thought. And if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Now therefore go, lead the people unto the place which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them. All right, so here we see Moses, he interceded for Israel. You know, what if just one of those times Moses and God were in agreement, and Moses said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth good. What if just one of those times we wouldn't have the nation of Israel? Because God, in one spot, God told Moses, said, step out of the way, Moses. I'm going to wipe them out and I'm going to make a nation out of you. God told him that. So we'd have the nation of Moses or whatever instead of the nation of Israel. So what if Moses just that one time said, oh, it's the Lord, let him do what seemeth good. All right, go to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, verse 6 through 9. Says, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, this is the keeper, and he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. We see here another intercessor, and I remember when Pastor Jerry preached about this when I was in high school, and it really bothered me, because, you know, I guess it was more one of those scare things for me. You know, and for me it was, if I'm not producing fruit, God is, you know, why should God keep me around, I guess, is what I was thinking. But if you look at this, think about, and I think about all the years, like when I was in high school and stuff, when I didn't really do anything for God. I wasn't bearing any fruit, but there were people that were, they were still said, Lord, give them one more year. We're going to work with them. We're going to teach them some things. Give them another year to produce something. And how many times have I not produced and really I haven't done anything for the Lord? And somebody said, Lord, give them another chance. All right? So look at that one. Go to 1 John chapter 2. Verse 1 says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I'm not going to have you turn to all these, because I got several here. But in Romans chapter 8, verse number 26 says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Down in verse 34 says, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Hebrews 7:25 says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You know who another intercession for is Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus Christ, he stands at the right hand of God, and I can't, my finite mind can't comprehend how a sinful person like me, how God doesn't see me, but he sees his son. You know, an intercessor, and I can read you the definition. I looked it up because I'm not that smart. It says to move or pass between. All right? To mediate, to interpose, to make intercession, to act between parties with a view to reconcile those who differ or contend, to plead in favor of one. So to intercede is basically to step between judgment and the one that the judgment is supposed to be given to. All right, so that's basically, it means to pass between. All right, so in a sense, it'd be a step in front of the paddle or the punishment. Okay, and so that's what it means to intercede. You know, Jesus Christ, the Bible says he intercedes for us, and this is the atonement, the propitiation, intercession. This is the intercession that God makes for us as Christians. All right. When God sees us, he doesn't see our sin anymore. He sees the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the intercession that Jesus Christ makes for us. The Bible says the Spirit, and I just put the two together because it was easy, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us. You know, as humans, we pray to God, but I think a lot of times words can't really describe what we're praying, I think, a lot of times, or what we feel. And the Bible says the Spirit maketh intercession for us to God. All right, so we have those two. So I want to talk about the intercessors tonight. We looked at one illustration of a man that wasn't an intercessor, and we looked at several illustrations of those that were intercessors. And I just want to encourage you to be an intercessor for somebody. All right. Number one, the need for an intercessors. All right. Like I said earlier, you know, Pastor said something about we're losing some of our prayer warriors. Well, in that, we're losing our intercessors too. You know, we're going to have constantly new intercessors. You know, what if there's a generation when there is no intercessors, when there is nobody that stands between us and the judgment that we deserve? What happens if there is a generation lapse there? So there can't be a generation lapse. Let me ask you this, and think about it. Who, if anybody, and we all should be, who are you standing before God on behalf of? Who are you standing in between? And it's not necessarily even a bad thing. Maybe there's not a necessarily, I call it preventative intercession. You know, maybe it's not necessarily a bad judgment that's coming, but who are you standing in between that young person and what could happen to their life? Here's some thoughts. What about your child? Are you interceding for your child? Like I said, my dad and my mom, I know they've interceded for me. What about that bus kid? What about that bus kid that without your prayer, they really don't have a chance? All right? And it's not necessarily God's judgment on them, but without your prayer to change the way that their life will go, what's going to happen to them? What about a friend? What about a friend that you have that, whether saved or unsaved, especially unsaved, are you interceding for that friend? I refer to my dad a lot, but you know, my dad had a whole list, and I prayed for him. I think it's funny to listen to prayer requests now, but when I was in school, I had the funny prayer request. But I'd pray for the same guys all the time because that's who my dad prayed for. You know, he had a list of four or five friends of his that he prayed for, and that's who I didn't know. I only knew one of them. I didn't know the rest of them, but I knew my dad prayed for him all the time. All right, so who's a friend or an unsaved acquaintance? All right, like I said, I know that I've had intercessors standing before God on my behalf, and those of you that have done that, I thank you for that. I do want to thank you for that. But who are you standing as an intercessor between that person and coming judgment? All right, just like Moses, like I said, what if Moses would have one time agreed with the Lord and said, "Oh, it's the Lord, let him do what seemeth good." What if a parent would just one time, they've been interceding for their child, but then just one time they say, "Well, it's the Lord, let him do what seemeth good." What would happen to that child? Do you think a parent would be happy that they missed that one time maybe of intercession, if that one time would have made all the difference? Or what about my friends? If I have some friends or some bus kids that I see some potential in and I'm interceding for them, what if one time, what if I just stop being intercession for them? What if I stop praying for them? All right? So there is a need for intercessors. Number two, the requirements of an intercessor. And I didn't really know what wording to use with this. But an intercessor must be in good standing with the one to whom they are interceding. And if you think about this, and going back to the need for intercessors, I know in my life, like in school and stuff, I know I've gotten in trouble and quite a bit. Most of the time, I try to get away with it. Like, I did something, but you don't ever do anything that they can catch. You always got to do it where they can't prove that you did it. But sometimes it didn't work. And Mrs. Bovenshin was really good at catching me at doing stuff. I was like, oh, shoot. I hear a clearer throat over. I'm sitting on this side. I hear a clearer throat. I'm like. But you know, there's times in my life I wish, you know, I was praying to God. I was like, you know, you did something wrong at school. And then on the way home, you get home, and I'm waiting for Dad. You know, I get home at 3:30. Dad gets home at 5. From 3:30 to 5 is a unique time of prayer. And I am praying to God for an intercessor on my behalf. I'm like, Lord, please send somebody to intercede. I don't want this punishment. But, you know, I usually got the punishment. So don't get your hopes up too much. But, you know, the requirements of an intercessor, you know, you must be in good standing. You know, if as an intercessor, and this kind of goes back to it, but this is one of the reasons why we should live right. You know, if we're not living right, we're not going to have a direct contact with the one passing the judgment. You know, if I've got sin in my life, and then I go to God and I'm praying to God that he will spare his judgment off of somebody, but I've got sin in my life, how's that going to affect the person I'm interceding for? Will God hear me because I've got sin in my life? All right, so our lives need to be clean, okay? I want to be able to go to God any moment without having to worry about getting sin out of my life first. And you've all heard this preached before, but you know, you got to have a direct line with God, and that's one reason why we need to live our lives in a way that's pleasing to God, so that those we are interceding for won't suffer because of our sin or even our carnality. Yeah. All right, because of just our selfishness a lot of times is what it is. All right, so we definitely need intercessors. We need to be clean before God as an intercessor, because we never know when our intercession is making a difference. We never know when, like Abraham, we never know. What if Abraham, you know, wouldn't have been on the right standing with God when he interceded for Lot? Okay, what if Moses would have not been right with God as he's interceding for Israel? What if the husbandman wouldn't have been on the right terms with the Lord, if, you know, what would have happened to that vine? All right, you know, the Lord said, "No, I don't want to hear you because you disobeyed me last. You disobeyed what I told you to do yesterday. I just want you to dig it out, do what I told you to do." All right, what would have happened? Okay, so we need to be on the right standing. Number three, and this last one, is the work of an intercessor. So we have the need of an intercessor. We see that there is a need for intercessors. We see number two, there are requirements for intercessors. We have to be on the right standing with God. Number three, there's the work of an intercessor. Number one is prayer. In every one of these that I looked at, there was a dialogue. There was a dialogue between the person and the Lord, or the one that was passing the judgment. All right, look at it. There is. Are we earnestly asking the staying of God's judgment on behalf of someone else? You know, and really, prayer is the easiest thing we can do. That's the bottom that we can do. All right? I mean, the least we can do for somebody is pray for them. I mean, how much longer does it take for me to pray for 5 extra bus kids? It really doesn't take that extra long. All right? How much longer did it take for my Sunday school teachers to mention my name in prayer? It didn't take that long, but it made a difference in my life. All right? So we see a dialogue or a prayer in the instance. Number two, under the work of an intercessor, is work. We see oftentimes an intercessor is required to give of himself to help with the removal of sinful things, or with sacrifice and giving of himself. We see that in Moses. And Moses said a very interesting thing. He said, and Lord, if not, blot me. He said, Lord, if you're not going to forgive them, I'd rather you take me and basically send me to hell and save them. All right? Now, God's not going to do that, but what an attitude that you would be willing to give your salvation, your eternity in heaven, so that a nation could go to heaven. We don't have that type of sacrifice in Christianity today. Or the sacrifice, the giving of himself. You know, the husbandman, I'm going to go back there because I would try to quote that, but it ain't going to happen. In verse number 8, it says, "And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also." So we have dialogue, all right? It said, "Let alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it." You know, a lot of times you got to put feet to your prayers. You know, many times it's not just the prayers. What are you doing to help that person? I could pray for my bus kids all day long, but if I'm not helping them in any way, what good is my? I mean, the man could have said, "Lord, let alone this year also. Let's just let this plan alone for another year, and let's just see what it does." Our gardener, even, you know, you could say, "Well, this plant's not doing very good. Let's just let it alone." Or you could say, "This plant's not doing very good. Let me dig around it. Let me aerate the soil. Let me put some fertilizer on it." I mean, which is your better choice? Just to let it alone, or let it alone and I'm going to do some work with it? All right? So there is some work oftentimes involved with this. Number three, and this is something very, very important, is tenacity. We see it in the illustration of Abraham. When Abraham was interceding for Lot, you know, Abraham didn't give up. The Bible says, and Abraham was stood still before the Lord. You know, Abraham, he didn't leave until God had told him what he wanted to hear. And, you know, in Abraham's mind, I believe that Abraham thought he could get 10 people out of that city. And he should have been able to if Lot would have done what he should have. And if you go back and you look at Abraham or Lot's family, if Lot would have reached his family, they would have had 10 people. So in Abraham's mind, Abraham's like, well, if Lot did a halfway decent job, 10's fine. 10 will save the city. But it wasn't Abraham's fault. It was Lot's fault in this case. All right? So, you know, but Abraham, he stood before God constantly. And I didn't go. I should have. I didn't. I didn't go through Exodus and count the times that Moses stood before God. You know, Moses didn't say, "All right, this is the third time, Lord, but this is the last time I'm interceding. All right, you can wipe them out next time." You know, Moses didn't say that. He kept asking God to forgive him. All right? And I, you know, the Bible doesn't say this in the parable, but I think that husbandman, the next year when the Lord came and looked at it, and maybe that tree just grew a little bit, and maybe it had just some buds on it where it didn't have any fruit at all before. Maybe it had some buds on it. You know, I don't think that husbandman said, "All right, the year's up, it didn't do anything. Let's dig it out." You know, the Bible doesn't say that, but I think the husband probably said, "Lord, look the progress that this plant has made. Look at the buds that this plant has made." Yeah. Can we let it just, I'll do it again, and let's see what it'll do next year. You know, that's what I think that's what an intercessor does. An intercessor constantly goes before the Lord to ask intercession on behalf of the one they're interceding for. All right, so we have that tenacity. And what about this? Think about this. What about Jesus Christ as our intercessor? What if Jesus Christ didn't have a tenacity about his intercession? What if Jesus Christ said, just gets tired of interceding? I mean, what happens to all of us? You know, we sin, and instead of God seeing the blood of Jesus Christ, now he sees our sin. So what happens to that? What if Jesus said, all right, I'm taking a day off, Lord. I won't be here tomorrow. Just whatever they do, just punish them for it. Okay, so what happens to all of us? I ain't alive tomorrow, that's for sure. All right? So Jesus Christ, I don't believe Jesus Christ quits interceding, and I don't believe I should quit interceding. Just because maybe something bad happens to me, am I going to go cry and be selfish about myself, or am I going to keep interceding for somebody else? All right? Just keep remember that your intercession may be the only thing standing between that person and judgment. Don't have a lackadaisical attitude like Eli. And that it still bugs me. Bugs the fire out of me. Why Eli said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth good. Why in the world? I mean, I know his sons were evil. I know his sons, and I could read, and they were evil, evil sons. And the Bible says they were sons of Belial, sons of the devil. And I could read through some of the stuff that they were heathen sons. But still, as a father, why? And you read later where Hophni and Phinehas both die in the battle, and a messenger comes back and tells Eli, he says, your two sons are dead. And the Bible says Eli was sitting on a pillar, I think, or a seat. But the messenger comes back and says, Hophni and Phinehas are dead. And then he says, and the ark of the Lord was taken. The Bible says when he heard that, the ark of the Lord was taken, he fell off his seat and he died. He didn't fall off his seat and die when the report came back that Hophni and Phinehas had died. I don't understand. And I think that's because there wasn't an intercession. You know, I believe if Eli would have been interceding on behalf of his sons and something happened to his sons, I think he'd been pretty tore up about it. I think he would have been. But the Bible says he didn't have a reaction to that of the death of his sons. And the reaction that he gave earlier to the judgment that was coming to his sons, why should there be a reaction? He said, oh well, they had it coming. I hope my parents never do that to me. I mean, I never plan on getting away from God. But if I, just in my daily life, I want people praying for me. It's not just the judgment that's coming. It could be just, I was reading through it. I didn't find any that really caught my eye. But I have an illustration book that's like 4 inches wide. And I was trying to flip through it and find some like nifty little illustrations. I really didn't find any. But I did find a lot of times where a mom or a dad was woke up in the middle of the night and they started praying for somebody. And to come to find out, the next morning or something, their son or their daughter was close to death or close to some tragic accident. You know, that's an intercession too. That's praying to God on behalf of somebody else. So I just want to ask you, and I know it didn't take long tonight, and I know the first part was kind of rocky, but I want to ask you, who are you being an intercessor for? I just want you to think about it. And like I said, I've said every other time before, let the Holy Spirit work on your heart. But who are you being an intercessor for? Are you still being an intercessor for them? Don't give up, and don't have a lackadaisical attitude like Eli did, because I need your prayers. This is a selfish message, but don't, just because I'm 23 now doesn't mean I don't do stupid stuff still. All right? I mean, I still have these brain lapses where, you know, logic ceases to exist in my mind. You know, I still need your prayer. Don't give up on me just because I'm older. Don't give up on a bus kid because they didn't come to church one Sunday. Don't give up on your friend because they're having a bad day and they told you they didn't need you anymore. Don't give up on people just because of stupid stuff. All right? And I hope this will help you. I think everybody in here is an intercessor to some degree. I think everybody prays for somebody. I mean, if you pray for somebody, you're an intercessor. All right? Because you're beseeching God on behalf of somebody else. I think tonight I wanted to point that out about Eli. I don't know if it bothers you guys as much as it bothers me, but that bothered me a bunch. That he'd have such a nonchalant attitude about the judgment that was coming on somebody else. Hey, what about America? What about America? Are we interceding? You know, the Bible, Israel was saved because of remnants most of the time. Not because the whole was doing what was right. Most of the time, the whole of Israel wasn't doing what was right. Most of the time, it was a remnant that was doing what was right. And I think that remnant was interceding for the whole. Are we still have we given up on America? Have we given up on it? Or are we still interceding for it? All right? What if people stop interceding for America? It's pretty bad out there as it is with intercession. What would happen if we stop? All right? Think about that. I just want you to think about that. And think about, number one, we need intercessors. If you're not an intercessor, we need more intercessors. And I'm bad about this. I don't pray for as many people the way I should pray for them. All right? And it bothered me enough. I want to do better at that. Me personally, I want to pray for people. All right? Requirements of an intercessor. We need to keep our lives clean. Clean before God, because we never know when we need to step before God on behalf of somebody else. You may get a phone call and somebody says, hey, can you pray for somebody else? Are you going to have to spend 5-20 minutes confessing all your sins so you have something clean to present before God? All right? So the requirements, the work of an intercessor. Don't forget to pray for people. Don't forget to work. Put feet to your prayers. Prayer is easy. And I think many times our prayer is in vain, to be quite honest. But prayer is easy. Work, and don't give up. Everybody's got heartaches, and everybody, you know, I know my mom, I think it was 11 years, she prayed for, was 11 years? 11 years, she prayed for my grandpa to be saved. You know, what if she said after 6 years, oh, good night. I've been praying for 6 years. God hasn't answered my prayer. I can guarantee you, I doubt there was anybody else in her family that was praying for him. So she would have been the only intercessor, her and immediate family, for my grandpa. So don't give up on people. It's never too late. All right? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for helping me tonight. Lord, I pray that you just help us be intercessors. Lord, I want to be a better intercessor on behalf of other people. Lord, I thank you for all the people in this room that have prayed for me, prayed that I didn't stray away from you, Lord. Thank you for my mom and my dad and my family, Lord. Thank you for my preacher, who's probably spent a lot of nights in tears praying for us, Lord. And I thank you for them. Lord, help us be intercessors. Help us to not give up on people. Help us to constantly stand before you on behalf of others. Lord, I pray that this was a help tonight. Lord, I pray that you are glorified. We'll thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.